scripture, if you'll give me a little while tonight, chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. I'd like for you to turn with me. Amen. I really enjoyed this great service tonight. I appreciate your pastor. I knew him when he was a young man. And I started to say, of course, that tells my age too, doesn't it? Man, I appreciate your music. Man, I was really impressed. I like that. I liked your tambourine course down here. I love that. Man, you know, there's a lot of people that want children to be quiet in church until they get grown. That's not the way you do it. You bring those children up to where they come up praising and worshiping God, and then when they get older, they won't depart from it. Man, so I love it. I love it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there'll be some of those children that when they start out, they really can't play that tambourine like they should. You give them a little while. There'll come a time when this church will rejoice with them when they rejoice. Man, I love it. I liked it. I was impressed with your music. I really wanted your pastor to sing. I listened to all this thing, and I thought, well, if he's going to mess around, get out of it tonight. And if he does, I'm going to ask him when I get up. I'm going to ask L.L. Collins to sing. Is that all right? You're blessed. You are blessed. Now, this is a great church. It is. And this church is known across the country. It's a great example of labor. But can I tell you all this? Part of its greatness comes from its pastor. You've got a great church, but you also have a great pastor. And you know, there will be times when the devil will tell you, you know, he didn't do that right. And I wouldn't doubt, but what every once in a while, he doesn't make a mistake. If you don't believe that, ask his wife. But that does not keep him from being God's anointed. Do you know we Pentecostals, we're different. We believe in anointing. We believe that God, in his divine wisdom, does things beyond our understanding. Do you really think that a church this great would be this great and God not have his hand on the leader? So much of that. Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I'm going to take a little interlude just a moment, and then I'm going to read. And I'm going to tell you something. In our holiness movement, we're losing this ability. Attitudes is very important. Amen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. I want you to pay attention to this, which also was also in Christ Jesus. Y'all ready? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Amen. Wherefore God hath also exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Amen. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, amen, and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I want to read one more verse. Yea, and if I be found, or if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Let me talk to you just a little while tonight. I won't hold you long, and that's a promise. Amen. Chris is here. I'm glad to be with my nephew tonight. There was a time when Chris Farley would go across the country and he'd say, I am Leon Farley's nephew. And I noticed here tonight, this is Brother Chris's uncle. That's just the way life turns. Yeah, that's just the way it goes. I laugh and tell people in Oklahoma, back east now, back east, I'm not Leon Farley. I am Chris Farley's uncle. And that's all right, Chris. I like that. If you'll notice in my reading tonight, there's some things that I'd like to bring your attention to. Amen. If you notice in the very first verse, there's a challenge thrown out to us. If there is any, and it seems to me that the Apostle Paul hangs upon us a certain responsibility. Amen. Now, I have found that in our movement, we believe in the moving of the Spirit. We are know what it is to be anointed into a special, specific work. But I'd like to tell you that this, if there's any sympathy, if there's any comfort, if there's any bowels of mercy, it is up to us to move in the realm that God intends for us to move. Amen. Now, y'all, now stay with me. I'm going to get into an area here that's going to be a little bit questionable. And I hear him saying, fulfill ye my joy. Amen. Now, in this chapter, I am impressed with the responsibility that lies upon individuals. Amen. We like to feel the hand of God when God has got us and our feet are about this high off of the ground and the Holy Ghost is carrying us out. But that is not the everyday experience in the life of a Christian. Amen. There are times when in our age we walk by faith. Hallelujah. We do because we are commissioned to do. Amen. I know what it is to deal with men when God has inspired me. I've told this many times. Many years ago, I was in Oklahoma City pastoring, and God woke me up one night and dealt with my heart. And I didn't know which way to turn, but I knew God had His hand on me. And Brother L.L., I went down to the front room and prayed and felt the impulse, and I didn't know where to go, so I went and got in the car, started my car, and backed out and said, God, which way now? in the street, I felt a directive. I got to the main road. I said, God, which way now? I ended up on one of the worst streets in the Southwest. At that time, I was on Robinson and just off of Reno. God spoke to me. I pulled up and stopped. I got out of my car. A drunk was staggering down the road. I said, God, is that him? And God said, leave him alone. Amen. I went by a place a lot like this here, and it was a little door. You pulled it up, told them what you wanted to drink. Oklahoma was a dry state. You laid your money on the counter, let the door down, and walked on down the street just a little ways. You came back and opened the door and got your drink. I said, God, is that it? God said, leave it alone. I walked into a cafe. I didn't know where to go. I had no more directive. I sat down in a booth and ordered a cup of coffee. It was not just a few minutes until that place filled up. I did not know it, but the bars were closing. Amen. In a little while, a tall man framed the door, and God said, that's him. I never said anything to him. I let him walk all the way down and around, and finally came and stood by the table where I sat. I said, sit down. Amen. He looked across the table and said, what are you doing here? I said, why do you ask? He said, you don't fit. I said, I'm no different dressed than they are. He said, but there's something different about you. I leaned up across the table. I looked him straight in the eye. I said, God sent me here to tell you that He still loves you, and it's not His will that you perish. That hunk of a man trembled. Tears coursed down his cheeks. I was raised in a holiness home. My grandmother was an old whole-time holiness woman. She prayed many a prayer for me. I have not been to church since I left her house. But last Sunday, I felt a hunger. I got so lonesome that I could hardly stand it. I wanted to go to church. And here you are. You track me down to tell me what I'm feeling in my heart. But I'd like to tell you, it's not always like that. There are times when we step out of faith. Amen. We take our commission. Amen. From Matthew 28. Amen. We are sent into all the world. It is our responsibility. Amen. God, if I felt like it, I'd do it. I want you to know that God has commissioned you. In the book of Acts, He empowered you. And the next thing God's waiting on is, what are you going to do tonight with what God has given in our hands to dispense? Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Amen. I like this. But in lowliness of mind, amen. I'm afraid that some of the humbleness, amen. Now, I'm not going to get into any humbleness situations like a lot of them have in Oklahoma. I was raised among the strictest of the strict. I had an old uncle that would not have wore a necktie for nothing. And when he went to camp meeting, he wore a pair of overalls so he could be humble. I wish dress would do it. Some of the most proud people I saw have been poor people. Amen. That's the truth. You don't have to be rich to be proud. Amen. You don't have to have a haughty look to be proud. I've known some folks that just had a natural haughtiness about them. Amen. But they weren't proud. Y'all hear? Amen. Look at this. Amen. The thing that's bothering us, amen, in our day and time is sometimes we have too high esteem of our own position. We are nothing tonight. We, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. We have no holiness. Amen. The only holiness we have was bought with the precious blood of a Savior that died for us. One that dared not to accept his position. I believe that when the devil took him and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, it was not an idle threat. I believe the Son of God could have short-circuited the whole of glory. Amen. And set up his kingdom. Amen. But you have to remember in the book of Revelation, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He gave himself willingly. Amen. I want you to hurry with me. Amen. But cannot every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I like this tonight, and I'm going to comment and hurry. I like this praying. The young man that came, and folks had time to pray. D.L. Moody told the story of the little boy that the guy opened, the sexton opened the church every Sunday morning, and the little boy was walking by. The sexton stopped him and said, "Son, where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to church." He said, "Where you go to church?" He said, "Over on the other side of town." And he said, "Why, son, you can come to church here. Why do you walk all that way to church?" And the little boy with a toe moved a rock. And finally he looked up and he said, "Mister, they love a feller over there." And I'm going to tell you all something. There's some times that every little boy needs love. There's some times when every little girl needs somebody that'll be her friend. And there's times when even old women feel better if one of the saints is with them. I love the sharing of the blessings. Amen. I'm hurrying on. Amen. I want you to know, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ. Y'all ready? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In St. John 16, a little phrase, "Ye are gods." Can I tell you that you have more to do with the kingdom of heaven tonight than what you realize? Do you not understand? Amen. I know, and we're almost afraid and we're scared of the Scripture. I remember what it was like when I sought God. God, move the cancer. Move the cancer. I remember how I felt. The brethren came, Brother Collins, that operating room, waiting room filled with holy men. Touch me. Amen. I felt so humbled. I did not hardly know what to think. But the doctor came back. It was cancer. But can I tell y'all something tonight? My God is greater than the conflicts of the human body. So it was cancer. But Sister Farley's working Christmas this year in Mexico. I don't care what the limitations of this old body is. Are you all here? Amen. There are those among us that are waiting. If everything gets right, you're going to be what you need to be for God. Can I tell you this? Amen. There are people whose souls hinge on what are you going to do with your ability for God. There are those that I cannot reach that this young lady can. There are those that my dress will not allow that some of these young men can reach. I hear it in the book of Jude. On some have compassion making a difference. And on others, are you all ready? Pull them from the fire, hating even the garments stained with the flesh. In Amos chapter 4, I read about firebrands plucked from the burning. There are among those of us, those that would have been lost had it not been for someone. We buried a man just the other day. Amen. I didn't agree with him on all that he ever done. But Vernie Edwards dealt with me when I was a boy. When I was rebellious. When I had decided that I was going to be anything besides holiness. J.V. Edwards would not accept it. He prayed. He visited. Vernie sought me out. Amen. After I got saved, he would not take no for an answer. He pushed me deeper and deeper. I remember one time when Vernie found out I had felt a call when I was 12. And Brother Edwards pushed me into the ministry. I'm going to tell you all, I'm here tonight because a man pulled a firebrand from the burning. It's not easy. Have you never tried to pull a stick from a large fire? It's not easy. I'm going to tell you, you'll never be able to do it until you feel the heat on your face. You'll never be able to do it till you feel the burning. And when the uncoverness of the fire, amen, finally you feel the necessity of what you're doing. Can I tell you this? The church is too relaxed in our place and our position. But I want you to know God has not brought us here, amen, for us to relax and ride it out. Amen. We need to work out our own salvation. We will not be judged by faith. We are going to be judged by our works, and it's going to be tried as by fire. I want you to know something. There are those in this area tonight that will never be saved until you take your position with God. They'll never be moved to your mood. They'll never feel anything from heaven until you get enough sympathy, until you get enough of the bowels of mercy, until you get enough of the stirring of God and feel enough of the heat, until you tell the devil, I'm going to pull them from the fire. Brother Farley, if I felt like it, I wouldn't do it. I'm going to ask you one question tonight. Why don't you feel like it? Laodicea is rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing. Amen. We saw the progress. We saw the doctrine. We saw Satan's seat. And finally, in Laodicea, he's knocking on the outside. Our agendas, our business, opinions, Brother Farley, I'm saved. But if there be, depends on what will you be. Pray, I've got a son that's lost. Amen. Greg got in a few years ago. Greg was into Doug's bad. And I've told this many times. And I went to visit him. My son was living in a little old car. That was his house. And I didn't even know where to find him. I drove into Bristol, and when I did, I got out. The first business just pulled up and stopped and looked. And there went Greg. And I waved and hollered, and Greg turned around. And he told me, said, Dad, if I ever get saved, I'm not going to be like you are. Amen. I went home to Missouri crying, tore up. My heart broke. I can't tell you how I felt. I screamed at times in the car. I screamed, God, I didn't raise him to be lost. God, I didn't raise him to be lost. We got home, and I wasn't going to tell Helen. But I was crying so hard, and I come in the door. And the first thing I said is, Mama, you can't realize how bad our son is. Amen. That evening I come back in the house to eat. There's a meal on the table and just one plate. And I said, Mama, where's your plate? She said, how can I eat when my son is so far from God? Amen. She pushed that plate, and I said, if you don't eat, I'm not eating. We throwed out many a meal. One day praying, seeking God, studying for a message, God spoke to me, and I called a man. I said, Carl, young man that I just got saved off the street. I said, Carl Dale, would you go talk to Greg? He said, yeah, I will. He's pastoring church. I said, when do you think you can do it? And Carl said, well, he said, I'll go get him. And I said, well, do you have any idea of the time frame? Well, he said, it'd be 4 or 5 o'clock this evening before I get over there. I thought it'd be a week or two. Late that evening, Carl called me and said, Dad, we're in revival. Greg's with me. He's in the car. He doesn't know I'm calling. I'll let you know. That night, he called me again. He said, Dad, Craig said, all through the service, it seemed like he enjoyed it. He didn't pray. The next evening, he called me. He said, well, we're all loaded. Everybody's in the car, including Greg. Said, I never had to say a word to him. He got around, got ready by himself. Amen. After a while, service was over, and Carl called. He said, Dad, somebody wants to talk to you. And Greg said, Dad, I got saved. I got saved. Yeah, he got the kind I got. I'm working on him. Some conflicts in the church and some things, amen, got a hold of Greg's heart. But I'm still pulling. I felt the flame not long ago. I'm reaching as far as I can reach. But can I tell you, what about those that don't have a praying mama or a praying daddy or a praying grandma or a praying grandpa? I'm going to tell you what we need. We need those among us that will reach out, amen, and say, God, I don't even know who they are. And oh, I know they're sad and sorry, but God, I'm going to try to pull, amen, that firebrand from the burning. He's as sorry there's a boy that has never had a chance. He doesn't know anything. Amen. About God. Sister, would you come to the piano, please? Amen. He is as worldly. He served time for selling drugs. I was with him not too long ago. So worldly. 3 children by 3 different women. Living with a woman that he's not married to. He doesn't know what it means to be committed. The devil said, leave him alone. You know, really, the fires of hell's already been kindled on his life. I put an arm around him the other day. There was no one else around. I said, Billy, God's dealing with your heart. He wants to save you. He said, Brother Leon, don't do me like that. Look at my arm. He had a short sleeve shirt on. It looked like it. He had cold. You know how we call them goosebumps. He said, the hair is standing up on the back of my head. Sweet Holy Ghost went farther than I could say with words. And while I was talking to that firebrand, the Holy Ghost was dealing with his heart. I prayed over a meal. And I said, God, save him. Save Billy. I make no bones. They know they're lost. Save Billy. He shook. And I said, amen. I said, you done it again. Look at there. God's presence is working with Billy's life. Billy McClendon needs to be saved. But if he has, and if he does, it'll be because I felt enough of the fire until I reached in. Have y'all ever pulled out a stick from the fire? That whole stick at times will be so hot, ready to explode from the heat. Oh, listen to me, saints. I wish I knew the numbers tonight. Did you know it wouldn't be impossible to say there's 300-400 people that their soul's destiny depends on whether or not you're going to have sympathy. Paid for some gas in Oklahoma in a strange town late at night and pushed on the door to open it, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I just turned around and looked at the young man that was clerking. I walked back and I said, son, I don't usually do this, but when I took a hold of that door, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said that He loved you. God loves you. That young man sobbed and cried. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I don't know what you are, but my grandmother took me all the time, and my folks went to the Pentecostal church. My wife has just left me for no reason at all. And he said, I've asked God, God, why is this happening to me? He said, I didn't think anybody cared about me. Can I tell you all, there's somebody tonight that doesn't know what you know about a loving Savior. They don't know what He took. They don't know how He felt. Holy, sanctified. But He died the agony, the indignity of an old rugged cross. No worse death in the world than a cross. Did you know they may not have crucified over 6 or 7 more people after Jesus? They crucified Peter on the cross upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be on the cross like him, history says. And so he would not be crucified right side up. It's too glorious a death. Can I do this to you? Come on! We're dead. We've been baptized to His death. We have been resurrected in a new walk. We live no longer for ourselves. Ourselves was buried. We walk tonight in a newness of life. We are ambassadors of another world. Hallelujah. We are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We belong to Him. Amen. But there's a bunch out there that are waiting. What are you going to do? I'm not making an appeal to the lost. I'm making an appeal for the lost. Amen. What will you do? Would you come back, tell God one more time, God, I'm so glad for what I feel. I'm so glad for the ability that I have to praise You in the times of adversity until I feel You. But God, would You add another dimension to my life? God, would You make me a soul winner? You know what? I don't know where and when that I die. But no greater honor than I know than a good friend of mine, that preachers that he had touched their life carried him up a lonely hillside in the state of Oklahoma in the hills to a little old graveyard. They carried James Stevens. But every man that carried him was a man that James' life had touched. No greater honor could I have than when they lay me away, than men that I got saved carried my casket. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you remember? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Do you remember? How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believe. It was many years ago in the 56. I was a rebel and felt like I'd sinned away my day of grace. I thought I'd sinned against the Holy Ghost. I went to Sunday school one morning, and just to get them off of my back, they'd been aggravating me to death to go to church. And I got to where I couldn't hardly have my Saturday night poker game for that bunch of Christians knocking on my door. And so I said, yeah, I'm going. And I went. I walked into service that day, and they started singing. The Spirit of God fell. And Vernie Edwards came back and talked to me about being saved. And I told Vernie, I said, Brother Vernie, I'm not ready to be saved. I smiled at him. And I said, I'm going to tell you something else. When I get ready, you won't have to ask me. And smiled. There was not a tear anywhere. Brother Vernie turned and walked down the side. And about that time, a dear saint. It was before Sunday school class. It's when a lot of other things had ought to be done. But a saint of God obeyed the Lord. She spoke in other tongues, clear and concise. There was no interpretation. For you see, the message was to me. She never gave the interpretation. God spoke to my mind and said, I'll save you this morning. I didn't cry. My eyes became tears. I didn't walk to the altar. I outrun. I ran by Vernie Edwards. He was going too slow from my seat. I ran by him as hard as I could run. I got ready! I never just kind of, you know, went down on one knee. I slid into the altar. I prayed. I hung my head under the altar so they couldn't hear what I was telling God I was sorry of. They didn't have to pry at my head after a while and say, well, Leon, do you feel any better? I was praying as hard as I could. God, would you save me? God, would you save me? And all of a sudden, my voice changed and the load lifted. And that same voice is saying, would you save me? I was saying, praise the Lord, I'm saved. 43 years later in Middletown, Ohio, I'd like to say, praise the Lord, I'm saved. If there's anyone here tonight that you're lost, I'd like to see you saved. How many of you have unsaved loved ones? Let me see your hand. Oh, wouldn't that be a great time, Chris, to get the call from Oklahoma? Bub, this Charmaine, I just prayed. What a revival. Here. And do you know what? God's waiting on us as much as we're waiting on Him. Everyone stand. I'm going to turn the service back to your pastor. Okay. I'm going to do it. Would you come? I'm not calling for just the lost. I'm not saying that you're in bad shape. If you don't feel like coming for yourself tonight, would you take one of those loved ones of yours that's lost, and would you bring them to the altar? And would you say, God, I'm starting a campaign for them. And tonight I've came to pray in their stead. Now give me wisdom and grace. And if you will, God, I'm going to work. I'm going to work, God! Amen. I don't know how to do it right, but if you'll just let me find a role, I'll do my part. Thank you.